Hey. Well, our guest is Jimmy Pardo today. And it's like a three-part show. I'll explain why. We do a pre-show. It's about 36 minutes. And then Jimmy Pardo joins us at 36 minutes in. So if you're, I always say this, and I always will. If you're just tuning in and you want to hear, you don't want to hear the pre-show. We talk about stuff we've talked about many times. But I just felt like talking about it again. If you don't, maybe you just want to hear the regular show. Jimmy Pardo joins us at the 36-minute mark. So there's that, the pre-show. I felt good afterwards. And then, after Jimmy Pardo leaves, Bobby Miyamoto came by and we just had sort of a show with the family. And that's we'll drop that on Monday. So much. When in the pre-show, we talked about someone up at Montreal that said the comment about when a white straight male, you could say, is fighting for somebody's rights. Why else would he say that? Except that it's the right thing to do. And I couldn't remember who said it at the festival. I don't know why, just based on his name, but his name is Will Anderson, and we never met before. We met up at the festival, and we were all sitting around one night having a talk, and me and him and a few other people, and Will Anderson, with one L, for the love of God. So, I think that's everything. I really do. So, did you hear a little glitch? Because it's because I stopped my recorder on my phone and then I started it again. You know what I was thinking of today? My second grade teacher. I went to Davisville Elementary School. Davisville Elementary? And second grade teacher was Mrs. Ziegler. There's got to be somebody out there like a lawyer that knows how to do that. Then I used to live on Kilburn Road in Northeast Philadelphia. Oh, you're not going to be able to find these people. I need to give you their address. I know the address. And they lived like three doors over, Tom and Eileen Scott. Then they moved to Atlantic City. But they used to live on Kilburn Road. I can get the address. I will. Maybe someone out there. That would be great. And then, well, that's it. Let's start there. Mrs. Ziegler. And Mrs. Biazzi, too. Mrs. Ziegler taught me in second grade and didn't do very well, but she was very patient with me, and I remember her so well. And then I remember I was going to fail second grade, and she said if to my parents, if they keep me just, if I stay back, she'll give me extra attention. But my parents, we decided to put me in like the same school, but like a special class. Oy, oy, oy. And my teacher there was Miss Biazzi. Wonder where she is. It's got to be somebody. You know what I'm going to do next week on the show? I'm going to find out all the information I can on some of these people that I'm trying to find. Who knows? Somebody out there might be able to help me. All right, I'm really rambling. Enjoy the show. And what else can I say? Okay, that's it. That's it. Enjoy the show. Aristotle, you're great. You're a good man. Roll in the jingle. All right, everybody, bye. Roll it in now. And I mean now. Now.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
I feel like I've been away forever. How are you? You're good? You are? Seriously? Oh, shit, I moved my own mic. Hi. Okay, here's what's going on today. Robbie, what's your last name?
Kirkhoff.
Robbie Kirkhoff. He sent in last week, this is JFK. And he also sent in the guy, Jerry Seinfeld called in. Well, we don't want to give it away. And then Adam Cousins here. Robbie's a comedian.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing comedy?
3 years.
3 years. And how long, you've been doing comedy for a while. Adam Cousins, who is hanging today. And then, of course, Aristotle's here and young Jake Adams here. And Jimmy Pardo's our guest. And then we're going to, I think Jimmy Pardo's going to stay for a while. And I'm very excited he's here. You know, I won't say this to Jimmy Pardo because there's nothing really to say when someone says this to your face. But everyone in this room knows Jimmy Pardo, of course. And Jimmy Pardo is one of those guys that every bone in his body is funny. And I know other guys like that. I know some great comedians that I wouldn't say that about, but they're still great comedians. But they just – he just – every bone – Andy Kindler to me is like that also. So I'm excited that he's here today. It's been a while, and it's been my fault. So I with the at the comedy festival in Montreal, first of all, yes, I had an unbelievable time. But there were so many new funny comedians. Now, you're going to be surprised I'm saying it this way. I didn't even see them perform, all of them. But when you're hanging out with people, after a while, you're like, man, this guy's funny. This girl's funny. And there was a lot of people like that, like 5 in the morning, hanging out in the lobby, just laughing till I wanted to get some pussy. Why do I have to say it? Why do I have to talk like that? So I have my coffee. Let me take a sip. I want to be like, you know, like I always say, Regis, you know. He's not hurrying, and he's on TV. Me, I'm, take your time, Todd. Just hold on. So someone asked me, and they genuinely asked me after the show. They asked me, hey, is everything good with you and Daniel? And then as we started to talk, I realized, you know, because Daniel's not here anymore, Katie's not in here, Chris isn't here anymore, and Eric isn't here. And it just sort of happened organically. Eric had to move back home. Chris did go back home for a little while, but he'll be back. He'll be back. And then Katie just has so many podcasts that we saw coming. So Aristotle is here. And Daniel, we're great friends. You know, we just got back from Amsterdam. And so it does seem weird, but everything, in case you're wondering, maybe you don't, maybe you're like, did they get in? Absolutely fine. I still have an affection for every single one of those people that I just listed. And so you know, I would never lie to you about that. Maybe I wouldn't say anything, but I would not go out of my way to lie about it. Absolutely. And you'll see that I'm sure every single one of them will be back here. They will be back here, every single one of them. Katie, of course, will probably be back, and not permanently, because I think, you know, Aristotle, I adore Katie, but we're very happy to have you here. You tell that Katie, if she wants to come back here, she better change her goddamn name to something interesting like yours. Again, Adam, that's so unprofessional. Adam is holding up a sign that asked me if I could plug his Twitter. What if you really did that during the show? All right, so the first part, you know what? Yes, I am going to, as you knew in the opening, I'm going to go through some stuff, and some of it is the topics we've talked about before. My never-ending quest is sometimes talking about the same things, but hitting them from a different angle. Have I talked about things and not hit them from a different angle? Of course I have, but it's never my goal. So let's go nice and slow. Wait, Robbie Kirkhoff. I didn't even put it together. On the list it says, thank Robbie Kirkhoff. Yeah. Did I say your name right?
Yes.
But now you're here. Now you're here. Yeah. What, I spelled it wrong?
No, that's probably right.
Well, I don't know if you should say probably when it comes to spelling your last
it's
name.
Hope.
But for reading it, I said it right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all that's important. So anyway, I already was going to thank you. Whitney, this is so confusing. There's a poem. Whitney Goldstein sent it in, right?
Yeah, right. It was her reaction.
Oh, he recorded his reaction?
Yeah.
Oh, let me hear it.
Hey, honey, come in here. Todd's going to read the poem I sent him from Shel Silverstein.
Pause it for a second. I just love that everyone, I'd be happy if everyone, first of all, in real life, any couple that's not, you know, if we know people like that in real life, couples that just argue and they're always, it's not, but it's something so comedic about it. It starts right off, honey, like the wife, you know, and by the way, women, you could send it in too and have your dumb husband out of the room, you know, it doesn't matter either way, go ahead.
In here, put them kids down, come in and see, he's about to say my name. What the fuck? Mighty's not fucking Shell. Say my fucking name. Fucking Graham Elwood. God damn it. Say my... honey, I said... He was supposed to say my name. He said he was going to say my name. I know. He said... Fine. Fuck you. Fuck, you want a fucking divorce?
Turn it
I'll
off.
Give you a fucking...
Wait, he's getting a divorce from his wife? Because this guy's a loose cannon. Because I said his name wrong. Why is he divorcing his wife? You know what? It's not nice. So anyway, thank you. Okay, here we go. Shane sent me in this thing to listen to. Now, I know I'm gonna have to say it in the opening because I do this every week. Michael, what was his last name? Remember we had trouble, young Jake? Michael Humer?
Yes.
He is a philosopher. I will not forget, if I've said it wrong now, to say it in the opening. I promise. Well, you already heard it. What am I worried about? It was a philosopher, and he said, he answers the question, are things getting better or worse? Now, he's a philosopher. You could still disagree with him, but guess what? I was so happy. He thinks they're getting better. And I watched a lot of the video, not all of it, because I don't have a really long attention span. And if he would have juggled, I would have listened a little longer. Speaking of juggling, Adam Cousins will be at the but I like it, and he broke it down, and he was intelligent in the way he said it, and I'm always happy. I don't want to delusionally think things are getting better. I understand. I've said it a million times why people look at the world today, and they're going, is it getting better? It is, and I was so happy to hear him in an articulate, brilliant, clean way say that it is. Who do we want the iron companies to? I have an idea for an iron company. You know, irons, you press a shirt. I have a way that they can show up to every event and do something with their iron that will make everybody happy, if it's a comedy festival, whether it's a charity event. How can an iron company show up and hang their big sign that says the name of their company? And there's nothing wrong if you promote your company and you're also doing something good. And that's what you'd be doing. Tweet at, who do we decide? Can you turn his mic on? That's okay. Who was it? Singer?
Yeah, I guess.
Do they have a, think they have an ad? I thought you listened to the show,
yeah,
Adam.
I do listen to the show. I apologize.
That's all right.
Incredibly for what I've just done. Tweet at Singer.
At Singer?
Yes. Mostly known for like sewing machines, but they also do irons.
At Singer, contact at Todd Glass. He has an idea. There you go. Now that's okay. Hold on. I'm going to do something that's going to make me happy. Sorry, and I brushed my mic there, and I brushed it again. I'm sorry. Okay, we're all good. How are you doing at home? Are you all right? You good? All right. Sometimes I gotta just stop. Go slow. Hung out at the festival. You know what? First of all, Mark DeBonis, I know him because we worked together in Vancouver. He's just a good energy. Just a kind person. He was very kind to me. Like at the end of the week, he brought me this sandwich because I was talking about it. And you know, he's just a good guy. So I say this. It helps if you know that going into this, I was affectionately teasing him. You know, it's like these people go, the only problem with the cell phone is that no one takes real pictures anymore. And I was like, well, why don't you? That's the end of my story. It's like fucking buy a camera and take pictures. Yeah, I would see it. And it's like my mom, she used to go, you know, she says, no, oh, it's so sad we don't celebrate Passover anymore. Now my instincts are to go, or any Jewish holiday, because we sort of morphed into celebrating traditional Christmas and other holidays. So my instincts are to go, well, mom, we celebrate the other holiday. And when we did it, remember, and this, and it was, that's my instincts. But now I go, we should. And it ends right there. Because she does, if I just argue, but I go, go ahead. That's a great idea. We should do it this Passover. Don't argue. And that's what I did. Oh, the problem with cell phones, nobody takes pictures anymore. Hey, Mark, go by. Oh, what about you? Where's your fucking camera if you miss pictures so much? Can't take it anymore. I know that didn't make a lot of sense. Judah Friedlander, we're just ripping through things, came up to me. I wanted to hug him. He came up to me at the festival, and he asked me if I'd be a part of this thing. He wants to start a website to get rid of the check drop. Are you aware of this, Adam? God bless him. God bless him. Because let me tell you something. This is the truth. We're going to do an hour and a half podcast on the way clubs should be. And let me explain something. It will also include what comedians should do, too. Because I get it. There's a lot of good clubs. I mean, you know what I mean? Is when I say most of them aren't, but there's enough to say there's a lot of them. And when they do it right, It must suck for them to have a comedian come in. And by the way, not eat it. The DC Improv doesn't care. The good clubs, the Acme, if you are trying your hardest and you eat it, they get off stage. They don't give a shit. They're like, no, as long as you're trying. Look, we're in this business. We get it. But how, it must suck when they do everything right and some jackass comedian comes in and jacks off on stage like he doesn't give a shit. They got to open the doors. People get there. They get him in there. They finally get him seated. The show starts. Just try. And I love that it's try, not kill, just try. And so I just want to say it from that perspective in case there's a club owner listening going, well, I get it. It works both ways. But we are now comparing good comedians to good clubs. And I don't ever bring up the check drop because I look, it's a losing battle because what? No, I said it wrong. When you ask for so many things like I already do, and I'm not the draw that Brian Regan was in the last years of him working clubs where he could have no check drop in the first five rows. So, you know, you can't be more of a pain in the ass. You are draws. Most of the things I ask for are littler than that. And that one, I just go, Todd, you're going to, if you start going, and don't do a check drop, people, clubs, oh, you're, but he's right. It is absolutely absurd. And if dropping the checks was a little bit of a glitch in the show, I'm going to preface this even more. Are there clubs that do it really fucking good? Yes. The DC Improv, Acme, you barely hear it. So there are the ones that do it good. But still, if dropping the checks affected the show a little, it's not worth all the work it would take to do it at the end of the show. I know the club, I'm trying to get into their head. I know the clubs that don't drop checks, I think there's three. They're going to tell you, like, it's not that hard. But, you know, I get it. So if it affected the show a little, is it worth It doesn't affect it a little. It affects it gigantic. Just because we learn how to deal with it, whatever you are as a comedian, you wouldn't do it at a movie. And unless you can tell me, if you're a club owner, I'd respect you more if you went, you're right, but we're treat it like quitting smoking. Don't just be someone who, because you're not going to quit smoking, tries to convince yourself, like we've said before, oh, it's not that bad for you. Just be a smoker. Be a club owner. I would respect you. But don't try to tell me how, like, make an excuse for it, because there's no way you can compare it to a movie. Would you go to a movie if somebody said, yeah, it's great. They bring you your food, and then, I don't know, when it's like 25 minutes away from the movie being over, they just come around and you pay for it. You miss a teeny bit of the movie, but it's no big deal. You wouldn't even be able to convince someone. They go, shut the fuck up. The movie fucking does that. Now, the only reason to go, Todd, you can't compare a movie to a comedy club. Come on. Stop. You lose the battle. Movie, you got to pay attention. Comedy, you can tune in and out, and you'd still – does that make sense? Of course it's the same. And God bless Judah Friedlander for being the one that cares, because let me tell you something. Somebody can get it done. Somebody can get that done, and we can look back. By the way, it's the one area where you would think club – first of all, club owners should want to do it even if it didn't make them more money. It should just be a creative thing. But you would think they'd want to sell drinks to the very end. Why is my voice going like that? Is this the new way I talk?
And one of the biggest arguments that, like, clubs make is that they can't drop checks after the show because then it's going to push – like, they'll have to flip the room quicker. To the next. They decide what time the show start at. Just start your second show later. Start your first one earlier. They can decide how much time to get between shows.
Yeah, and also, when you go to the three or four clubs that do it, go there. Yeah. Because if you're saying they can't do it, that means when you go to the clubs that do it, I don't care if it's one club. Hey, if somebody says you can't invent a car that runs on water, and one person invents a car that runs on water, they proved everybody fucking wrong. You don't need to go, that's just one car that runs on water. Yeah. If one club does it, and it's not mayhem, that's fucking doable. And if you think it's not doable, then go to that club. And if it's mayhem, you can tell me, no, Todd, I went to those clubs to do it. It's fucking mayhem. No, it's not. They do it. And boy, is it nice. It's nice for the comedian. But you know who it's more – and I'm not just trying to say it this way. In a way, you know, kiddingly, fuck the comedian even. How about for the goddamn audience member? And I didn't mean to curse. I know you're very religious. So anyway, there's that. And Judah, I love that you did it. I really do. On the way back, I love how you can tell, like, it seems like, am I on another topic now? Yes. On the way back home on the airplane, oh, God, did we have fun. It was like me and Jeff Ross and Andy Kindler, who is just, God damn it, is he funny. And Jeff Ross was there, and Andy Kindler, and Kyle Kinane, and course, I paged myself 15 times and said, congratulate Todd Glass for winning the Comedian of the Year at the Montreal Comedy Festival. Everybody in the terminal started applauding. I felt a little bad. But on the way back home on the plane, I watched Stand By Me. And what a just, it's sad. But also, you know, it's a great movie. And then I was curious what everybody was doing. I was like, what are they all doing now? It's sort of ironic how it mirrored the movie, because in the movie, one of the guys dies, and this, and in real life, one guy dies, one guy's doing all right, the other guy. But the star of it, I think Wheaton. What's his name? Bill Wheaton, I think. Will Wheaton? Will Wheaton. I was curious how he was doing. But he said in the last line of the movie was, we never make any friends like we make the friends when we're 12 years old. And I thought, how you doing, young Jake?
I'm doing just fine, Todd.
Great. We never make any friends like we do make the friends when we're 12. And I get why he said that, but there's always exceptions, and I'm lucky that I'm an exception. That doesn't mean that what he's saying isn't just so, you know, so true. As a comedian, you do. And that's when I heard that line, I figured how lucky we are. Because you have to be innocent. You have to be vulnerable. You have to be able to giggle. You have to be able to cackle. You have to be able to show you're sad. And comedians will do that in front of each other. And I think that's why we do make those type of friends. There's an innocence. And, God, I really was able to go, like, those are the things I want to remember when I'm busting chairs in my office at my house, because I get upset, because it really made me cherish my comedian friends. That was just a really sad movie at the end. I don't know why. Probably it's not like even before the one guy died, you know, like the one guy, you know, he becomes a lawyer and then he goes into a McDonald's. And what's Richard Dreyfuss doing? Is he okay? Anyway, Rob Mayhew is a comedian that I work with occasionally, and again, a great guy. And he said something. He hit it from a different angle. You know, the tattoos with a 70-year-old. Well, if you have a tattoo, what do you look like when you're 70? He goes, like, that wouldn't be a deal breaker if you're chasing a 70-year-old at a bar anyway. You're not going to be like, look at her. I'd fuck her. Ooh, tattoo. No. Okay, so we got that. Mark, go get Mark DeBonis. Go buy a camera. If Mark heard this, he's going to be like, what is he coming after me for? I just said it casually. I know, and I might edit it out. No, I'm not, Mark. Mark. I'm Mark DeBonis. For some reason, I found it fun to yell his name. I'm Mark DeBonis! So we're doing good. Jimmy Pardo is on his way. It just goes so quick. I got to really bolt here. I'm going to talk about, okay, this is the last thing when I say it's serious, but what I mean is, you know, it's on the topic we've talked about so many times before. I got into a situation at the gym, and there's a guy that I always talk to. I told him even to listen to the show. I said, I'm going to talk about this. I really am. His name is Ken. He's a black guy. Need it to be said. And I rarely, as much as I'm passionate about talking about things, get into, I know when to pull back. You know, you're talking to someone, you realize you disagree, you just pull back. It's not like he said anything hateful. But we started talking about, he brought up the subject about, I want to really remember how this started, about gay marriage and how they should accept civil unions. And he doesn't know about me. He doesn't know about me. And I was a little bit bad for not saying anything. But in the moment, I get why I didn't, because then it's all, oh, I can't be honest. I wanted to be a secret agent for a little while, like I used to always get to do. You know, I wanted to be a secret agent and think, you know. So he said, yeah, I got into an argument with another guy at the gym about it. I felt a little bad. So I saw him the next day. Now, I know he did this. If he does listen to this, because he felt bad, he just said they should set up civil union. This other guy at the gym got very upset about it. And by the way, his name is Ken. The only reason I know him, because I've been going to the gym for 10 years, and you know, you start, oh, he saw my show once. He saw my show once at this place. And so for 10 years, it's always, sometimes it's 2 seconds. Sometimes he's very into health. Sometimes he'll tell me, Todd, you got to pick it up a little, you know. So he's a friendly guy, very nice guy, good energy. He's given me a few really good tips when it comes to eating, you know, something, things that really help me. And he seems like a good energy. But he said that, he goes, I felt so bad. I knew I hurt the other guy's feelings. The next day I saw him, I said, hey, I talked to a friend and I realized why I was wrong. He goes, but I didn't. I just didn't. And I thought that was really weird. I know he didn't look it this way, but I would never do it reverse. If I was having an adamant conversation with someone about anything, I would never go back to them and go, hey, I talked to some of my friends. I guess black and white people shouldn't get married. Yeah, you're right. I would never do that if somebody, if I thought I was right. I would never. Why are you, if you think that, that that's ruining the sanctity of marriage, then why would you go back and fake just to make that guy happy? When it was flipped, nobody in their right mind would ever go back. Act, you know what I mean? Whatever the situation was, go, hey, I thought about it. You know what? Women shouldn't be able to, just to make that person happy. I'd feel filthy. And this is a guy that steals hotels towels, so don't, you know. But when they say, look, I said, I hope I hit it from a different angle here, and I know I'm just ranting, but when they say it ruins marriage, they have to not be all right with gay people. Because, in other words, could someone be going, no, could someone go off to a passionate conversation? They are human beings and it doesn't matter, and just go, that doesn't matter. Two people find each other and they love each other. It doesn't matter. Could someone say with all that passion and just picture it coming out of their mouth and going, leave people alone. They found each other. They love each other. Two consenting adults that love each other. Let them do what they want. Leave them alone. This world, stop it. Should they be able to get married? No, it's for a man and a woman. I think you're lying. Could I be wrong? Yeah, abso-fucking-lutely. But I think you're lying. And I think when you lie about why something bothers you, you annoy people like alcoholics and drug addicts annoy people. They get so good at twisting the truth, so good where you go, oh my God, if I'm accusing this person wrongly, that's the worst thing in the world. And you're not, there's something we smell, like what I just said. Like, if it's all right and you're claiming, I think here's the thing, you're all right with it. You got bigger fish to fry. But when it really comes to a guy and a guy or a girl and a girl get married, it sort of grosses you out. You're all right with it, which means you wouldn't argue with it. But it doesn't make you, I can't imagine frothing at the mouth about same-sex marriages not being legal. You know, you're just, you're out there, you're on, but then go, but civil union. Now, I'm sure there's somebody listening going, no, I'm like that. I don't totally doubt that, but it confuses the fuck out of me that you're fine with it, but you just rather them have their own thing. So there's that. Give me a second here. And I did say to him, I said, Ken, I go... Rosa Parks, and I used the line that I've used on the show. I go, Rosa Parks would, if she heard what you were saying, and by the way, I give up on comparing it to all civil rights, but I go a little bit further up the line and go to interracial marriaging. Okay, because that's sort of, you could say that's the same battle, you know, whatever, but just compare it to interracial marriaging before that was legal. And they use the same argument. And by the way, the reason that people compare when the gay plight or whatever you want to call it to the racial problems, because they use the same argument back then. That remember that pastor on the YouTube that read through the whole thing and then he went, I'm sorry, I brought the wrong. If you really had a genuine problem based on knowledge, your reason every time you didn't want something wouldn't be the same. People smell the lie. So what's your reason for not wanting interracial marriage? If you were smart enough back then, you would be like, oh, by the way, we know why we don't want it. It's always the same. But we have to come up with different reasons. Otherwise, people know we're full of shit. It's like if every time someone says, can you help me? You go, my parents are visiting. Yeah, and then the next time my parents are visiting, they go, oh, you're lying. You have the same excuse every time. You know, I would still think they were wrong, but if you went back in history and went, what was the problem with some of the other when we hit crossroads and we were trying to gain someone's right? They always sort of have the same thing. It's the same bullshit. So you caused your own problem. Be smarter when you lie. And I'm sorry I spit all over you, Adam. Hold on. I told him, I said, I think Rosa Parks would be upset. And he goes, he got a little bit like, whoa. And I went, wait, so you think if you know, it's obviously a hypothetical that would never happen because he's dead. You really think if she could talk right now, she'd be like, you don't think she'd be a loving person that went, look, when two can, this stop. He really thinks she'd be like, no. But usually when people are brilliant, they're brilliant across the board. They're brilliant across the board. Hold on. So here's some of the things I wrote down. So I think it would take someone to convince Ken that he's wrong. And I think you'll understand where I'm coming from. 5, 4, 3, whatever, black friends that agree that they can compare it. To go, stop it with a type of anger that I can't, because I don't know. There's always that one speck What if I'm saying it wrong? But there are a shit ton of black people that agree. They go, no, it's not the same across the board like we've talked about. The gay people weren't slaves and this didn't happen and this didn't happen. But there's enough there to relate with. And I think it would take three black people to go, stop. And I would love to see that happen. And it should happen on a show. They should have, you know, because when a black person could say it to another black person in a way. And let me tell you something. And I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it a little differently. Until black people can stop being homophobic and gay people can stop being sexist or racist, and what any group of people, women, anybody who's felt the wrath of being judged on something other than their character can stop it, then leave the fucking rest of this world alone. And I say that sarcastically. How the fuck should we expect white males to change when you can't? So leave the whole fucking world alone until we can get that to stop. Because these are people that have felt it. If we can't get them to change, then leave everybody else alone. And I almost like saying it. Don't complain. Whatever group you are, if you're a woman and you are hateful towards any group, then shut the fuck up about other groups that don't like you. If you're a woman and you complain about sexism, but you're open-minded and you're loving towards every group, yes, speak away. But if you have hate towards any group, then you just shut the fuck up, because you, if out of anybody, should have learned a lesson and you didn't. How can we go to someone that's never been a victim? If you're a white male, you've never been a victim. Look, I know there's people can be judged on other things. Maybe their dad did something, but you know what I mean, just by the color of their skin or their sex. And oh my God. Feel, look how worked up I get. We're almost going in for the close. This feels good. Hold on. Do you hear me breathing? I get all. Dearest Todd, I love your podcast. I shed a tear when it's near the end. Molly, thank you. I just wanted to read something nice. All right, so here's some notes. I worked with Andrew Ivamy. I should get his tweet handle. We'll give it in the opening of the show. And he listens to the podcast, and he's a comedian. He opened up for me on two shows, and I really like some of the things he said. And again, it's just hitting it from a different angle. If you claim that you, in the past, things are all right, whatever it is, you know, I always go to the women voting, interracial marriages. There's so many more. You think I'd do my homework and figure out other crossroads that we've hit. They're the famous ones. And you claim you're all right with those. I'm not even arguing that. I doubt you are, but not in all cases. I shouldn't say that. I genuinely don't doubt you are. But I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt that you absolutely, any of the things in the past that have already sort of been worked out, you're okay with. And you claim you might have even fought for them back then. But it's just the ones on the table today we have a problem with. So if you claim that you are okay with – this is Andrew Ivamy. I'm quoting him. I hope I'm quoting him right. So if you're quoting all the things in the past you fought for – well, here's all we need you to do then. Sit this one out. We're not asking you to help. Sit back, relax, have a cold drink. We don't send our veterans into the war. But we don't want them to fight us. We don't want to send our veterans into the war, but we don't want them to fight us. So we're saying, oh, I know, I've did enough, and I fought for this, and I fought for that. Fine, sit back, relax. We'll bring you lemonade. You want a cold beer? Let us fight it. Let the young people fight the new fights. Just sit back. That's all. Okay? Just like you fought when you were young. Let the young people now fight. I'm not saying all young people are brilliant, but you know what I mean. They're going in. Any other things that are on the table today? One of the comedians I was talking to over the weekend said, when you're a white male and you're fighting for someone's rights, what other reason would you have that it's right? Because when you fight for someone else's rights, what else? You got it all. So what else? There's no reason. So when you're white and you're a male and you're fighting for someone else's rights, it's like, it's does that make sense? It didn't come out right, but I think I know what I'm talking about. Like people, you know, we in this world, white men have it the easiest, you know, besides individual problems. You know what I'm worried. There's white men, obviously, that have problems. That's not my point, but I think you're trying to look for a trouble if you're thinking anything bad right now. Hold on. I think we're almost done. Oh, all right. So we got that. Hold on. Got that. I'm doing all right. I'm actually okay with myself. I wrote this down. I went, I'm sorry I cannot have a conversation with you about when black people or women use the race or sex card unnecessarily. I can't have that conversation with you until you have an hour conversation with me what it must be like when they're using it necessarily and they're told they're using it unnecessarily. So does it happen? Do people use the sex card and do some people use the race card unnecessarily? Yeah, I would have fucking imagined. And I would imagine in that community that angers them the most because it delegitimizes when it's real. But I can't fucking have that conversation with you until I know from your heart and your soul that you know what it's like when it's the other way, and that's probably the majority of the time. I can't have it with you. I can't have it with you. You want to have the conversation when they use it unnecessarily? Come over here for 2 hours. I want to hear you passionately talk about what it's like and get into the head of somebody who has been using it legitimately and how much it must suck to have someone think you're not using it legitimately. Does that ever happen too? Does that must happen, right? I can't have a conversation with you that all our kids are over-medicated. I'm sorry, I can't have it with you. And I know a friend of mine's wife that we had this conversation. Yeah, they're all over-medicated. I can't fucking have that conversation with you until I have the conversation with you when you talk about, and by the way, again, are there kids that are medicated, overly medicated? Yes, I'm smart enough to know. Overly medicated, sometimes overly medicated, and not even the right medication. They didn't even take the time to figure out. But I can't have that conversation with you, even though it exists, until I have a conversation with you how many adults and children it has saved their lives because they found out what was wrong with them. They got on a medication. And you think, what happened 50 years ago? There weren't all these overly medicated people. Now everyone's got it. No, then they just put them in an institution. Now there's people that would have been in an institution that are living healthy, good lives. So if you want to have the conversation when they're over-medicated, yeah, come over here and from your heart and your soul with all the compassion in the world, and don't just blow it off. Don't go, oh, yeah, I'm sure that there are some. No, that's moving past it. If you feel it in your fiber and you get how many children it saved their lives because they found out what was wrong with them, early autism, different types of autism. Yes, if this didn't happen long ago, I would wonder. But it did. They just were written off. A lot of people were written off and fucking crazy. Now people can find that. So, by the way, if you're ever wondering what side to be on, and this doesn't convince you, nobody. And it's not that often you can say that. Otherwise, you look like, you know, you have to always say, well, once in a while. Nobody has ever gone down in history in time, ever, and been famous and respected, that's the word, and respected for fighting against people's rights. Now, you might be the soldier that thinks you're going to be the first one. So, good luck. Nobody has been gone down in the history of time and been famous and respected when time has passed for fighting against people's rights. So you keep fucking trying. And I know I'm not talking to our listeners, most of them. Probably majority of them. But this is something, like I've said, in case I need to repeat it. I always think I repeat things sometimes because I love to repeat them, other times because someone might not have listened to another show. And I say, I tell this to people that agree, preaching to the choir, because it gives you a way to fight the war. Just like Andrew Ivamy said some things to me this weekend. And the comedian that said the thing about if you're a white male and you're fighting for this, I'm going to find out his name. Really nice guy. And I'm going to find out his name and put it on the opening. But so that's what it is. I hope, you know, those guys said something and I thought, I like that. I've said what they said 100 times, but they gave me a way to say it. So that's what this is about. We're preaching to the choir sometimes with our audience, but sometimes when you're out, somebody can, gives you a way to fight the war because someone gives you a new way to say it and a good way to make your argument. Thank you and good night. So we're here with young Jake, Robbie, Adam, Aristotle, Jimmy Pardo is on his way, and we will be back right after this.
If what I am is what's in me, then I'll stay strong, that's who I'll be, and I will always be the best me that I can be. There's only one me, I admit. Have a dream, I'll follow it. It's up to me to try. Oh, I'ma keep my head up high. Keep on reaching high. Never gonna quit. I'll keep it strong.
All righty. Too low. You want them up a little more? Yeah, I mean, Jimmy,
they're just not fitting.
You know what?
They're not fit. They're too low on my ears. They're too low. They're not.
Jimmy's been claiming that he doesn't know how to use the headsets.
They're like,
since he walked in.
Have you seen the way
well,
they
lift
are?
Them up a little.
You recommend I go higher then?
Oh, that's too high.
Now I feel like a Mickey Mouse.
Tell me you're
why,
being...
did I, why did I put the accent on that? Now I feel like a Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse.
All right. There we go.
Whose okay. phone is that?
That's yours, jackass.
You know, getting called a jackass by you is like being called a hockey puck from Don Rickles.
You know what? I don't disagree with you there. Don and I are very
no, serious.
I had a young lady. I was just
can
at
you
Acme,
do me a favor? And I normally
off.
Wouldn't ask you this.
You no, want to see a picture on. Of my son?
No.
What do you want? You want to turn it off?
By the way, so the audience knows I'm walking around.
He's walking around. Todd just walked around to see me.
I go, can I ask you a question? I was going to ask him to put his stuff on the ground. And he goes, want to see a picture of my son?
You want me to put that on the ground?
Can I put it right here?
You're worse than I am, you OCD nutbar.
I'm asking you permission out of respect.
But then you just touched them. What if I...
Watch your fucking mouth. Edit this out, Eric.
What if I'm a, what if I'm a germaphobe? Wait a minute. I can look at a melted candle in front of me. This nightmare that Paul Lynde wouldn't have had in his 1976 Halloween special, but my phone's got to be 4 fucking feet away. This thing, this prop, that a haunted house that the JCs. All right, I'm done.
You're
throwing my skit. Can I actually get these turned up? I do need these turned up.
Hold on.
Who am I? There we go. Thank you.
Is
thank you.
That?
Yeah.
Is that better?
That's way too loud now.
Okay, put it down a little. It's okay.
Okay.
We take our time.
This is the show here now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Pardo, you are long overdue.
It's hard to
but
hear.
Jimmy Pardo, you are finally here tonight.
Play this one for him. Where's the one that Jung... Now, it's a little hard to hear, but, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in it. Jingle Joe said... He's going through some moving and stuff, and he goes, but I wanted to do something. So, you know, he's still, with everything going on, I said, we got to have something for Jimmy. So, where is this? Long opening.
Jimmy Pardo, the guest on this week's Talk Live. Pioneer of podcasting.
Pioneer of podcasting.
Comedy gold, he says.
Mm-hmm.
With never not funny and Conan O'Brien. Don't forget about right now. Check it out on YouTube. If you did a podcast earlier, calm down. We mean the first comedy one. Other kinds of podcasts may have come before. Just remember on Todd's coma when they went to that gas station. To the tune of that's what friends are for.
Jimmy Pardo.
Jimmy Pardo.
That's very nice.
Show a little respect. Yeah. Show a little respect.
Very nice.
Seriously, not the type of applause when royalty walks in the room. Not with that smattering shit we give our other guests.
Let me tell you something.
No.
Still going? Still going?
Philly cries.
That's, thank you, guys. Wow. That's really... That's really nice. Thank you. Thank you. Adam, you may have just hurt me.
Yeah, Adam had his big monkey hands right in your ear.
He
had to get in there somewhere.
Those big hand hocks. Is it just my mic that... I'm just not...
Is
there we
better?
Go. I found the sweet spot. I was just in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Name dropper?
No. You don't know what name dropping means.
Oh, either do you.
Nope. Yeah. I may know... Okay. So I'm up there. It was a beautiful October day in the middle of July. It was very cold, 59 degrees. But I did a song on stage. I said the word false bravado. I said, there's some false bravado. And I said, you remember that song by the Eagles? False bravado. Basically the same thing that gentleman just did. So my point is, I'm as talented as that guy.
Well, I'll give you his phone number. You can call him directly and tell him.
Great, I'll call him if I can get my phone back. I know that you put it, you know, you can't be within arm's reach. Well, focus in on what I'm talking about. You're too busy pointing at things.
Shut it up.
Honest to God, you invite me over here, and you spend more time fiddling with cords.
You know what, I can't have any...
My phone can't be within arm's reach. My key's got to be on the floor. My phone's on a lampshade.
This why...
Now you're pointing at numbers and... Play this one. I'm here! Who gives a shit about these songs? I mean, that was great. Yeah, but Demi Pardo. Yeah, I get it. But it's very flattering. It's very nice. You got your I don't know what this is. Your corral of fellas here.
Oh, shut the fuck up.
I don't know what's happening.
How many guys work on your show? We talked about this before we went
I have
there.
Matt Belknap. I've got Elliot Hochberg. He's over there at Video Central.
You have a lot of other guys.
I've got Garen, who's from the homosexual community. And he's got a lifestyle that I may or may not agree with.
Eek.
It nauseates me. That's it.
Thank you. Do you know what we just said before you came? That if people that had a problem with it just said the truth, you can't catch someone in the truth.
Well, first of all, you know I'm kidding.
Of course I do.
Yeah, but you said thank you, and then you said you're speaking the truth, as if you and I've had a conversation off air. Like, you know, I'm friends with Jimmy, but you know, he really doesn't like the homosexual community.
We said it about the people you're mocking. Like, if they would just go, it nauseates me. Well, you can't argue with that. There's no, you can't prove that something doesn't nauseate somebody. So just say that, and then everyone will leave you alone. Don't try to make up a fake reason.
Can we say that nauseates not pronouncing it properly, or are we all supposed to just pretend because you're the host that you're saying it right?
Oh, Jesus.
It's exhausting having me here.
It's pure joy. It's pure joy. Can I talk about something that I wanted to. Now, look. Jesus Christ. You don't mind. I don't think you care. Like, when we smoke pot, by the way, not smoking in front of you, totally respect it.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
I wouldn't want someone pouring a beer, you know, just little bits of it hit my hip. You know what I'm saying, basically. I wouldn't want someone to put beer in the swimming pool. It's like, even one bottle? No, none. I don't want any. So I get it. But, do you understand that people, do you know that people can drink and not be alcoholics, right?
Yes.
Do you think people can smoke pot and not be potheads?
No, you're hippies. You're all hippies.
But, you know, I wonder how much of that you think.
Oh, I would say it's close to 68%.
But
I would say it's up there.
You don't understand.
I don't. You know what? Admittedly, I don't. I don't. Admittedly, I don't. It's a lifestyle and a life choice that I don't understand.
Let me ask you.
I admit it. I admit it.
But do you think, because... I've said this a million times, but I don't know if I've said it directly to you. I'm not a functioning pot smoker, so I don't smoke during the day. I mean, maybe once a year if I'm on, camping, I have nothing to do. But around five nights a week, it used to be three, it's more. Like, in the last two or three years, it's more. It's about five nights a week. Never during the day, and at night, I will smoke. Usually it means for me, not even a joint, a half a joint. And I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it. And, but do you think someone that drinks, let's say, four nights a week is an alcoholic?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer somebody might say, I go home and I have a glass of wine and it calms me down. And then they live their life. They watch Hot in Cleveland and then they go to bed. So I don't know.
And by the way, my guts are, tell me if you're right, your guts are, you could give a fuck what anybody does.
I don't care. If it doesn't affect my life, I don't care.
Right.
I mean, I really don't.
I'm asking you. I'm not trying to make it look like you're out. Like, you know, you get it. People do this. I drank. People don't. I'm asking you. But there is a little. Yeah, but you under. You what don't. Do you mind talking about this?
I'm not 100% comfortable.
Oh, really?
No, go ahead. Whatever. I don't care.
Does it. What perplexes you about that it could be fun? Like to.
You know what? This is a path that I don't want to discuss. I've got my reasons. I've got my issues on this topic. On this, you know, you put that in your body. You know, whatever. Live your life.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
I don't know. I mean, I think we both have friends that are that do it too much. You know, and I think they do it too much to the point of it's distracting and annoying, and I think it is screwing up their life, and they don't realize it. Because it's not booze. Booze, you see when it screws up your life. Booze, it's easy to see. That guy's hungover. Yeah. His face is, you know, swollen. He's bloated. He's, you know, he's belligerent.
Isn't that weird when you see somebody, we don't say anything, but, there's definitely that day where you see somebody that got bloated from drinking. And I'm always like, whoa.
Yeah. And then you try to figure out, maybe he's not in shape. And then all of a sudden it clicks, oh, no, that's bloat. That's beer bloat.
There's different – heavy is even different. Bloat is bloated and sweaty a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I know people that are heavier but not bloated. There's, definitely bloated drunk.
Sure.
Remember when the comedians would make fun of Mothers Against Drunk Driving? I always cracked me up.
It sure did. Those are stupid people, right? Those mothers that are against drunk driving.
Exactly.
Aren't they dumb? And I think as comedians, we should do bits about these women who are angry that these drunks are getting on the highways and killing their children. Dumb fucking women! Mind your business. Go to your PTA meetings. Worry about the schools. You dumb... Right? I mean, I never understood those jokes. And I would always, my friend Mike Toomey and I would be in the back of the room in Chicago. Great comic out of Chicago. We'd be in the back and go, and the guys would be doing their bits about, you know, mother gonna drink. Rah, 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 rah. I was like, yeah, they're bad people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, that makes sense. Be mad at them.
Oh,
it
Jimmy,
makes no sense.
I love you for that because, you know what, as it was coming out of my mouth, I thought, because I know you pretty well, but you never know. You could be like, I had mine, but you were doing what me and my friends were doing in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And we might have been 21, 22, and, hey, I drank and drove then.
So did I.
But I knew, but I wasn't stupid enough to think because I did it. Now I had to make pretend that those were bad people.
Right.
And mother again driving.
I don't even see the humor.
Who'd
there.
You like, say the comedian you were in the back of the room?
Mike Toomey.
I know Mike Toomey.
Mike, a brilliantly funny man out of Chicago. He does great stuff over at WGN television as well. And he would always, like, if somebody was, you know, the false premise guy, Mike would always be in the back going, nah, didn't happen. Didn't happen. And just it's just so funny because it's comics. You're just taking just all the meat out of the joke. You would never do it to the audience. Let the audience be fooled by the bullshit.
But what you forget is that the brilliant audience members, you know, if you're not trying to, well, brilliant, you know what I mean? The people that get it, whatever the word is, they do see it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about the fake premises. We're not talking about someone that has such an absurd premise that you don't need to buy it. It's so ridiculous.
Right.
That you know
like
what they're
like
doing.
I did a whole bit over the weekend in Minneapolis about me beating up Asians. And it was just – the audience understood I'm joking. I'm kidding. So it's ridiculous. Yes, it's a false premise, but we know it is.
We know it is.
It's not the – you know what I like to do? I like to go over to the drugstore. No, you don't.
Right.
You've never done it.
There's another type even besides that, which I hate. When you need to believe it's true – and, yeah, I always say the same thing. I go, no. And, by the way, these people, how about the comedians that always have witty lines? They go, so I said to him, boom, 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 and I said to him. So it sounds like you're so brilliant in these situations you're explaining.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen anything happen here in front of us yet.
There's no evidence of you doing that kind of quick wit.
And you know why? Because they make up something that somebody said to them.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, nobody said that. Nobody asked you.
Right.
I don't even want to think
of
this.
It's always some crazy question. And then the guy says to me, no. Now, even a crazy person
wouldn't
that. Yeah.
Right.
As we both don't have an example.
Well, Joe, I've never seen him do it, but Joe Coy, some people doubt that people ask him how to make orange chicken. Now, you know what I mean. But by the way, to George Carlin, you know what? The one person, he might go, look, I'm not saying you have to love me as a comic, but I swear to fucking God, somebody asked me that. And by the way, I wouldn't bet against that. But
I'd bet against it.
Ah, I tricked you.
Oh.
Edit that out where I said that. No. I'm 50-50.
You're 50-50. Joe Coy had a human being come up to him and say, how do you make orange chicken? He's on an airplane. He's flying to Atlanta, Georgia to do a weekend there at the Laughing Skull. And the gentleman turns to me and he goes, oh, you're Asian. That's interesting. How do you make orange chicken? That's happened? You believe that's happened? No, I don't know Joe Coy. I don't know the bit. I think he seems like a nice young man. He's very tall for an Asian. I don't even believe he's Asian. Now, the point is this. I'll beat him up like I did in my bit back this past weekend. So you think you're 50-50 that he's at the gymnasium. He's doing curls. He's doing his second set. And then he finishes it, and the guy says, can I work in? Oh, as I'm working in, I realize that you might be of the Asian persuasion. How do you make orange chicken? You think that happened?
If you do it again, you could throw me into convulsions. Because you're right. The more you set it up into any realistic scenario, you go, oh, you're set. Okay. He's at Home Depot. He asks the person if he knows where they have the energy-efficient light bulbs. Am I staring right at them? You know, sometimes you are. And the guy goes, actually, they're right over there. You were staring
and
right
and
at
I
them.
I can't help that they illuminate the fact that you're Asian.
Right.
How do you make orange chicken? Now, that might happen right there at the Home Depot.
I'm a Chinese cop. I'm pulling you over, or whatever the people that make orange chicken. Sir, can I see your license and registration, please? You passed the stop sign.
Absolutely, officer. I'm on the hip. Oh, yep. Son of a, you happen to be Asian, officer?
Yes, I am. What's that have to do with anything?
Well, let me give you my license, but in the meantime, can you answer, how do you make orange chicken? Nobody would ever ask that. Nobody. Unless Joe Coy's going around the world going, you know what I'm really good at? I know how to make the best orange chicken.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
What's up?
How do you make orange chicken?
You know what? You get chicken, you get some, yeah, just some spices and herbs and that sort of thing. And then,
what else? Come on. Yeah, that's it, all you get, spices and herbs? Hey, what makes it orange?
The wok? I don't know. What makes it orange? Probably orange. Probably oranges. Why am I yelling? I don't, listen, my improvisational skills don't lead me down. I don't know how to cook, so I don't know anything about cooking. Oy. So I couldn't go down that path. I was done with spices and herbs. And then walk. I wanted to use the word walk. I accomplished it all.
Is there anybody you don't like you get on your show? You don't even care anymore? Like, as the years have gone on, you're doing your podcast.
Yeah.
Do you go, fuck it, I can't hold that in any longer, and I just got to talk about it? And is there anybody like that? And obviously, if there is.
You mean a comic? I'm confused. What
no, not even a comic. Could it be someone? Could it, anybody in the business that we know in this? Yeah, is there anybody
that
like
just
you,
drives me nuts? And yeah,
that I don't pull it out of you. That you've talked about it 100 times on your show, like somebody that you.
Well, I mean,
is that a weird question?
I'm trying hard to not say this woman's name anymore. I've gone. I'm on record. Everybody knows my opinions.
Don't say it. You know why? Because most of. Go listen to the show and find it.
Yeah,
you have something fun to do.
NeverTheFunnyPodcast.com.
You'll find it.
But they all know there's only really one, at the moment, there's really only one famous female comedian. Is that fair?
I'm trying to think.
Only one on television? There's only one?
Oh, yeah.
Right? There's only one female comedian on television?
Well, at that magnitude.
Well, there's Ellen. Ellen does. Ellen's a superstar. Although this woman's getting close, man.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Judy Dunn.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But I'm very outspoken about it, and I've realized that it's not. Who cares?
Well, you know,
it doesn't
what?
Affect my life. Why am I mad? Why
well,
does it?
You want me to fire you up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, my brothers. I look. I'm going to change the name of the show. Did I talk about this last week? But my brother said something about teaching once, and look, I always say this. If you're not positive about certain comedians, that's what I have a problem with. As long as you spend a good amount of time being, the people you're happy for, and we both know there's a lot of people in this business, when we see them have success, we're happy for them.
Absolutely.
Doesn't mean you can be jealous and happy, but you're not always just, So anyway, my brother said something very interesting. He said, in teaching, to judge teachers, that doesn't mean I have to be the best teacher in the world, because if I was, if it took that, I couldn't judge anybody or couldn't make an opinion on someone, because I'm not the best teacher in the world, because you know what? I know one thing I should be confident enough to say, I really try. Mm. I want to be a good teacher. And he admires the teachers that are good, but they talk about the teachers that aren't.
Yeah,
you can't love being a teacher without the ones that you're shit all over it, or you perceive to, that it doesn't bother you. It just comes with the territory. There's no – the part that makes you respect the teachers you look up to and you grow on is going to make you have despise the teachers that just don't even give a fuck. So I think it's the same in a lot of professions.
Yeah, I would imagine that it is. Now, your brother and I – that sounds terrific. He sounds sharp.
He's a good teacher.
But does he know how to make orange chicken?
Yep. Listen, I could come up with scenarios. See, if you... No, never mind. I don't want to say it.
I'm at a PTA meeting. This is a true story. At a PTA meeting, and we're all...
Oliver's, let me guess. He's got to be right now like 5 or 6.
He's going to be 6 September 2nd, and we're at a PTA meeting, and we're there in Parent-Teacher Association. You're meeting the teacher. You're having a little chit-chat, and, we were at a charter school down near LAX. There's all walks of life in there, and I look over to the woman next to me. I'll be goddamn, she's not Chinese. And the teacher... This is so embarrassing. The teacher says, your kid's doing great. Do you know how to make orange chicken? At a PTA meeting.
Oh, that's unnecessary.
It made my wife and I very uncomfortable, because it's like, I was like, well, that seems a little racist, but you know what? Maybe she makes the best orange chicken. But so, in Joe Coy's defense, I've seen it happen.
I just figured out what happened. He was a cook at a Chinese restaurant.
Or he was applying.
And the waitress,
he's applying for a job.
At a Chinese restaurant. And the owner goes, do you know how to make orange chicken?
And he goes, oh, just because I'm Asian? No, because you're applying for a job to be a chef at an Asian restaurant. Very good, then. Good day to you.
I
don't know anything about that guy, by the way. Sounds like he gets on your nerves. Sounds like this guy upsets
honestly,
you.
Not at all. To George Carlin, whenever I've worked, if I work with somebody and I've only known, when I've worked with him and it's not been that much, always been friendly, always been, a good energy to be around. So
he's a positive energy.
Yeah, I can still, figure out the one joke. I'm sure he would laugh at this. He wouldn't give a shit.
I don't know anything about it. Those people like to laugh, right? Yeah. I know they're bad drivers.
And by the way, I wouldn't.
What's up?
Okay. You know why they're bad drivers a lot? Because they're visiting our country, and we're bad drivers when we go there.
Well, listen, don't use logic.
I know. I did suck the...
Well... But you know what? You make a great point.
Hey, you used logic when it came to those Mothers Against Drunk Drivers.
Yeah, for comedic effect, you brought the room to a halt with
you. How dare you? First you compare me to Paul Lynde?
Yes. Listen, you guys probably knew each other.
I'm going to ask you some questions today. Now, I say to George Carlin, which means the truth on the show. These are.
Could you stop? You said it 9 times now. You know I'm your biggest fan. You know that.
Do you know?
I'm honored to be on here once every 18 months.
Do you know this?
The Todd Glass Show. Voted number one by the Podcasters Association of America.
Did you know that?
The PAA? I didn't know that.
Yes. 2 years in a row. So.
Son of a gun. That's good for you. Congratulations.
Well, let me put this
as
over
a pioneer,
here.
You would have thought I would have known about that. But
let me ask you a question.
Yeah, I love questions.
Do you think, play this one here. Do you think this one is good? And then we'll get back to these questions. Just give me a second to play on my sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be a part of it.
Yeah, do your script.
This is what people wait for. They go, oh, I can't wait till Jimmy Pardo goes on the Todd Glass Show and he makes him play with his songs. Do you have this one here? It's okay. I like to make them. If I don't talk, it just makes them get them when they're looking for stuff. I know it sucks. Cause it's
if you're just quiet.
You ever in the mood to do that, though?
Yeah.
You're like,
mm-hmm. We actually do it this week on my show. The great Judy Gold was on. And Todd, Judy Gold was on. Todd,
mm-hmm.
Judy Gold. And we had a young Garen, our intern, look something up. But we all got really quiet while he did
and just
it.
Waited.
And it was just the fact that we all – somehow we all knew at once. Like a sign came. Nobody talk. And we all – everybody just waited. And it was uncomfortable and funny.
No. That's not it. This does. It teaches the importance of having these ready, because if we save him every time, why would he get more? You know what I mean? Do you have this one? The kid singing it? Do you have this?
My gal has got 2 eyes of blue and curls of brown. She always makes me smile when I am feeling down. Whenever I am with her, I just grin like a clown. Cause my gal's pussy is the smallest in town.
All right, enough with that. That's a true story, actually. That is a true story. Hold on, what are you doing? Did you like this song here? Do you like this song, Jimmy?
No.
Ray Conniff Jr. You thought it said Ray Charles. Sorry. You're doing good. Do you know what this song is from? Please tell me you remember. When we met. Remember at Omnipop? And this song was playing?
At the office?
Yes.
Yes, of course I remember that.
Where's the office? Which office? We had 3 offices.
At the one on Ventura Boulevard when it was upstairs.
Oh, you do
and
remember.
And it was when before it was in the same when he had the initial office, yeah.
Well, the truth is we did meet there, and then a week later we were at an audition, and I've never told this on this podcast, and you said, watch this. And you said something about, like, you had superpowers.
I said, I have superpowers. I could walk across the street, and every car will stop.
So in... I'm going to say, on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the most traffic on the street, it was about a 6 or a 7. There was a steady flow.
I might go 7 or 8, honestly.
Yeah. And Jimmy walked from one side of the street, cars, you know, not screeching, but having to heavily put on their brakes, to having no car for like another 6 feet, then having another car, and just weaved in and out and made it to the other side with never flinching.
Do you know why I did that, by the way?
Why?
I just moved. That was in 1995.
Did you walk the wrong way?
No. Somebody told me that as long as somebody said, oh, the great thing about living in LA, as long as you cross at an intersection, mm-hmm. whether there's a stop sign or not, every car has to stop for you.
And they
you
do.
Get right away. And but sometimes they don't because there's no reason for them to.
Yeah.
So I just got freaking lucky that day that nobody ran me down.
That's great.
Because then one time I tried to do it on Ventura Boulevard, not right near our agent's old office. And I stepped out and like some guy like has to swerve around me. And I go, what the F? And so the guy goes, well, maybe you don't walk into traffic, jackass. I'm like, good point, sir. And then, so like, somebody just lied to me and said, walk. And
well, it means they, most of the time, you're right. When you go to other cities, if you're from California and then you grew up here and you were raised here, I'm surprised you don't die within a week somewhere else. Because, no, we don't fucking stop. And by the way, yes, I believe in having a social decency when you're in a car and somebody needs to cross. But sometimes, let the car go.
Yep. Especially if, because this happened today, a guy was checking his email while he's walking across the crosswalk. Put your phone, walk.
Yeah. That's, how about when they don't.
I gotta go. I'm so.
Oh, you got him fired up.
I'll stay.
So here's what we're going to do.
I misunderstood today, what was happening.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think? Do you like this version? And then we're going to ask you some questions. You have this?
End is near.
Start it from the beginning.
And so I.
It's okay. Here, let me have that. And now. This is a good version.
End is mm-hmm. near.
Or do you like this version? And
now the end is near.
Play Frank's again. I want to let him decide.
I'd like to hear both again, yeah.
And now the end is near.
Can I hear the child again?
Hold on, listen to this. So you don't want to let this breathe a little? Because you might want to go back. I don't want to have to go back to it. So let it. Okay, if you don't need it, you don't need it. Okay, go ahead, play the other one.
And now the end is near.
All right, so what's your decision?
Can I hear a little bit of that, like, in the middle?
I just told you. All right, in the middle? Press play on the Frank Sinatra and let it play silently, and then we'll bring it up in the middle. I don't know how that's going to help it.
And so I face the final curtain.
You got it?
My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain.
Now that's the Sinatra version.
Yes.
I've lived a life that's full.
You like it?
I do. Yeah, I got no problem with it. I like it.
Can you hear the other one? You want to pick that, so you pick Frank Sinatra.
I'd like to hear the other one again.
All right, play the other one. You like this one? Seems like you like this one now. I didn't want this to go this long.
Really? You told me to.
No, I.
I'll say it clear.
It's okay. I know. I didn't, and then I did. By the way, I didn't, and then I did right away. Yeah. Like I thought, oh no, I'm kidding, and I went, he's kidding. We're good. Let's talk about this. Start this from the beginning, and I'm serious.
What again?
What did he? What? Some what? Who let him choose this song?
His father chose.
It's adorable, and he's a cute kid. But who said his life is near? Yeah, I hope it's not true.
Yeah, that's a great point, right?
He's 11 years old. His life is. What's? You should not sing this song unless you're his age with a terminal disease. Thank you. He's lived a life that's full. If he, God forbid, was, I don't, you know what, that's the only time I use that phrase, anything like that, as twisted, as demented as I am, he's a little kid, and he exists somewhere.
Yeah, this is a kid.
But I do want to still say it, but God forbid something would happen, would he feel this way?
He's doing it his way. Is this from America's Got Talent?
I don't know. Why, if it was, you could be, you know, we'd shut it off, and then Simon would, you know.
Yeah, give him a hat.
Give him what?
Give him a hat.
I don't watch it. All right, let's go to these
questions.
And
that's X Factor. You're thinking of X Factor.
Oh, yeah, he's on the X Factor.
Yeah.
All those shows.
Yeah, there's always something.
Sometimes I cry a lot when I watch the one with Howard Stern.
America's Got Talent. Did you see the one with the shadow people? With the shadow, they do the guy going off to getting born and then going off to war and then dying in war. You see that thing? Aristotle's seen it.
Just like a great... like you would say, just sort of a great. What would that be?
It's these people that they contort their bodies to make an image behind like a sheet, and they tell a whole story just by contorting their bodies. It is phenomenally moving.
Well, let me ask you this. When I watch that show, it's funny. I so much thought you were going to, like, as I was saying it, you know, go on that show. But there's very inspirational moments, even though there's an element of cheese to the show.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also some people that, you know, hey, look, it's not – no matter what you want to say about the show, these people will change their lives, some of them.
Yeah.
But sometimes I don't see how it could – they could – they maybe could have their own show. But why don't – and they might. They might do this. If they don't do this, I can't believe it. But sometimes between five or six or seven of them –
great show.
Put a show
like
on
a nice
Vegas.
Variety show, yeah.
Yeah, so why don't they do that instead of
maybe
just...
Maybe they do.
They should have somebody that they should pick every year. And
is
that
the headliner.
The headline of that show. Or maybe they're big enough to just literally go out like they've been doing with one person, and mm-hmm. they're the star, and then have a variety show that they're also putting through. So at the end of each year, they've picked one big star, they get their own show, then another showroom where they're putting together a variety show.
I think that would be great. And mm-hmm. Let's talk about it after this.
Do you want to talk about it?
I think that's a great idea. I'm on board. You know what I really like the most about America's Got Talent is the way that Nick Cannon interrupts everybody.
Oh, gee. Why is he there?
For those funny cutaways of him going, "Whack the hickey!"
And it's always like...
That's all he does.
And it's always like I feel 10 producers ran up or writers and gave him shit to say.
Yeah.
You think, after all this time, he would be comfortable. By the way, the first year, I get it. I've been doing comedy 30 years, and I do corporates, and they throw you for a rattle.
Right.
So I'm looking gently to... But first of all, let's say, hey, he just never got comfortable. Okay, mm-hmm. And that said... How come I wouldn't get that lucky? If I got a job and I sucked that bad,
you're done.
How come I'd be done?
You'd be replaced.
Then I think, is he that big of a star that it's worth having him for those?
Is he?
I don't know.
I don't know enough about Nick Cannon.
He's probably a nice guy.
He's a great guy. He's married to that lady. She's very attractive. Mariah Carey. Isn't he married to Mariah Carey? Right, that's a good-looking couple. Boy, is that a handsome couple. Right? Is that something to agree on?
Yeah.
Nick Cannon's handsome, whether you like him or not. I like that he wears an ascot. I got no problem with a guy that wears an ascot.
You know who else wore an ascot?
Charles Lind.
Charles Nelson Reilly, Paul Lind.
Sure.
And Joanne Worley.
And Joanne, we chose a lady.
Go ahead. You know, Joanne Worley's, oh.
Yeah.
Paul Lind was, oh. Charlie Callis, blah, 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 blah. And then I think somebody else did something.
Charles Nelson Reilly.
Charles Nelson Reilly, oh. And Jerry Lewis. What was going on back then? That's when people smoked pot and had fun.
I disagree. Now, listen, ram your agenda on my throat.
Do you?
Everything's this now, huh?
Do you think genuinely? By the way, if at one point I'm overdoing any of these impersonations, I didn't say doing them bad, doing them spot on, but is the cadence of how I'm imitating them overdone? Throw something at my face, and this really was going on. Unless something gets thrown at my face, and I'll know that you think it was implied. Joanne Worley, right? Paul Lynn. Okay. Charles Nelson Reilly. Jerry Lewis. Hey, lady. Harry Callis. And you don't think they were doing something? By the way, was I right that might have not been the best impersonation, but he didn't exaggerate the tone of any of them?
None of it.
What the fuck?
What do you want from me?
I'm glad they're dead.
They're not all dead.
By the way, I'm always so nervous that somebody won't. You know, I'd rather err on the safe side and go, I have respect in the comedy world
for those people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but there's some. Aren't there some of those people?
Charlie Callis was probably amongst his friends. People were like, it was all right.
You know,
I don't know. It could be wrong.
I think Charlie Callis was the guy that you know who's the funniest guy. Just isn't on stage. Charlie Callis. You know, like, I think he's that guy. Like, because we have that friend, too.
You know,
like, he's funny, but he never fronted on stage. Just blah, blah, blah. I think Charlie Callis was that guy. And, you know, hey, is Charlie going to be at the party? Of course Charlie's at the party. He's the funniest guy we know.
You know what? I'm glad you said that because there is an amount of respect I want to have for anybody that was in this business, whether they're here this or not, just for my own decency. And you're right. The reason I picked him was because, he was the one that wasn't as famous. But you're right. In our camp, we know people. And, that's right. He could have been that guy. So
yeah.
I feel bad that I even go, it was probably Charlie Callis. But
I don't know what was happening on television that was allowed.
Was there anybody else doing it? Let's think of one more person. Make me happy.
That was doing what?
That Jerry Lewis. Lady! Charles Nelson Reilly. Joanne Worley. And then Soupy Sales. What did he do? He did something.
I don't know what Soupy did.
He went, Soupy Sales. No, I didn't. I thought maybe I'd get one by.
No, he's never done. He never did that.
Did you ever do anything early in your career? And we will not make fun of you. And later, if you're second, we'll edit it out.
What do you mean?
Show.
Did I ever do anything?
A funny sound.
A funny sound? No, I was.
I have a
I used to do a thing. Truth be told, I used to do a thing.
Can I play it? I have it.
What?
You made a funny sound after your jokes. You did a joke. Some of the jokes you know, and then you used to make a funny sound. And I have it on.
Let me hear it. Is that going to embarrass you? Let me hear it.
All right, let me. So let me just play it.
All right.
Play 2022.
I don't. Was that it? Did you play it yet?
I was letting you do it. You have to do it.
Oh, I thought that you were going to do
gonna
it.
I was hoping you were going to go. I can't do you.
Here's how bad I am at what you're trying to do.
By the way, can I interrupt you? As I was throwing you something, I don't like when anybody throws me anything.
I don't
that
mind that you're throwing
handle.
At me, but I thought what you were doing is I thought you were going to play some ridiculous sound,
oh.
And then I was going to go, yeah, okay. I thought I was going to pretend like, yes, that
you're
was
right.
the sound I made.
Right.
I didn't know that I was responsible to be, you know, Michael Winslow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Well, you didn't have to. Oh, I just thought you'd do a joke you're doing your act that everybody knows.
But I didn't
today.
Know. I literally thought you were going to play like some ridiculous sound effect from a long play.
Guess what I'm doing right now as I'm talking to you?
You're backpedaling out of your awful ideas.
I am not. I'm pulling a hangnail out of my. It's as you get that hangnail from the side of your nail.
And you can't.
But then
bite,
once you
can't
do,
bite it off because then you know.
No,
your
I just
entire
pulled,
arm comes off.
I pull. Yes, and then it's not worth it for that little bit of satisfaction.
Right, but then you just go in there with a little cuticle cut.
I know, but then I feel like it's left there. I just want to pull it out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, give it a little trim.
Listen,
be fine.
I got interviewed on the. This is what we're gonna do.
Are we gonna talk about your tattoo? Because I'm honestly the last time I saw you, we did a bowling thing for the Nerdist.
Hold on. Did you pick a song? The Frank Sinatra one. The kid or the, okay,
yeah,
I'm just kidding. Okay, we did the Nerdist Bowling Show, which, by the way, I thought it was a good
it
idea.
It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that. But you had a fake sleeve on.
I did.
A fake tattoo sleeve. So mm-hmm. I thought, like, when I came in here tonight, that you were wearing that. I didn't know who you were doing that for. That's a legit tattoo.
I thought we talked about it at the gym, which I might not have.
No,
why haven't I seen you at the gym?
I left that gym.
Where do you go now?
I over at Warner Brothers. The Warner Brothers lot has a gymnasium right there on site. And,
You like things that are clean? You know what? I mean, our gym was.
I like that gym. I thought the gym that you go to is fine. Everybody else would badmouth that gym, but I liked it.
Do you know the problem I have with it? It's not with the people because, look, I don't want to over-talk. You might think I do, but I really don't. I go to the gym 95% of the time. I want to mind my own business, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I don't mind a little conversation. Once in a while, someone that's friendly. I've met mm-hmm. a lot of people like that. And I turn to somebody, something happens, somebody on the news, you both talk to each other. I've been very lucky. So the gym, there's not a lot of pretension. I found a lot of nice people. But the gym.
It's filthy.
Yeah.
I did complain about the showers. When I went in and there was no shower head, it was just water coming out of a pipe. That's when I was like, you know what, I'm
do
done.
Something.
I'm done. And it's just not worth it to me.
Yeah, and I don't, because I live right up the street, I don't shower there, but I use the dry sauna, and sometimes it's like
and
some people go. I wish they had a wet sauna. I go, really? You'd go into a wet sauna?
I went to the one over on Wilshire. I used to go into their wet sauna. The steam room, and it would be. What am I doing? This is mm-hmm. nauseating. It's like because in my opinion, it never got hot enough to burn off the filth. You know what I mean? Like it was like I think I was just.
I've been in there, and you know what though. That's why when somebody you look funny when you go in there fully dressed. You know, I'd want to wear my shoes in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, and on Saturdays it's worse. I want to hang signage there. Not kidding. Like get a pre-made, you know, like just print it out on paper with mm-hmm. that, and bring it to Kinko's so it has that sticky back.
Yeah.
Peel it off. Boom. Stick it on two mirrors and go. Please understand that Saturdays. We, although we don't give a discounted rate for our customers that come in Saturday, something like from the place, we apologize, but we don't clean on the weekends. You know, we apologize for our customers that only come on the weekends to pay, the management. How could they take that down? Whoa, that's true. You can't take that down. You have to clean up and disprove that sign not
right.
to be. This is always like, you know, anyway. Enough with that. So I have some questions I want to ask.
Okay.
Is there anything you want to talk about?
When did you get the tattoo? Yeah, I want to talk about that.
Thank you. That's why you're a professional. The tattoo, I never wanted a tattoo that's like, you know, what do you call it? Just a, you know, I always liked an arm sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
I always saw one. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at somebody had a party and they had those sleeves you put on. So I sort of knew what it would look like.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wearing it as a joke, as you know, for a while. And then I really liked it. I go, you know what? And you know what? Look, I'm pretty good at self-analyzing myself. I don't think it's a midlife crisis or anything. I just really wanted one. I liked the way it looked. And I did it. on Preston and Steve in Philadelphia, they have something called Tattoo Tuesdays, and so they did it for free on the air. And
you went over to Tattoo Tuesdays.
Now, I should also say this. It's a tattoo artist they've been using, the people that work at the radio station for years. So it was very respected.
Frankie and Bob, what are those guys' names?
No, these are actually good guys. You know when you do morning radio?
Yeah, but what's their name? I know their names.
Who, Preston and Steve.
That's it, Preston and Steve.
Preston and Steve, WMMR. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was that's where I did it. That's the story.
And you did it all in one sitting?
I did it in two sittings.
Two sittings. Did you use the salve? Did you use the balm?
The first time, like crazy, and then it heals right. The second time, hardly at all. But someone said it had a lot to do with his ability of doing it good that I didn't scab that much at all.
No. But did you use the numbing cream before?
No. And guess what? I would have finished. I am going to finish. And then I'm almost done. Just to there. That's it.
And you did that entire thing without numbing cream.
Underneath, this is when it started to bother me. Because the guy goes, it hurts, doesn't it? I go, a little bit here. I go, how do you know? He goes, because you're not talking. I'm not screaming, but I'm not talking.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to go back the next time and then I use something and finish it. They would have finished it in one visit.
Wow. A lot, man.
And that's it. I'm done. And you know what?
You know, I have two. Okay. I have two tattoos.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
I got one on each arm, like a gentleman. And and mine was a midlife crisis. Mine was my son was born, and I went into a panic that I never did anything exciting in my life, you know, other than quit my lucrative day job at the record business and, you know, do comedy for $150 a week on the road.
Isn't that funny that you did you say that in the way that you went? You never did, but you did.
But you did. I did that.
It's fucking amazing. Okay, you're saying
maybe the craziest thing. I quit a job in the record industry, making crazy money as a 23-year-old. To make $150 a week, traveling 8 hours a day to go to crappy one-nighters. So, yes, that's crazy.
You did
a crazy thing.
You're not crazy. You did something. Like, there's probably so many crazy and then other adjectives to describe that.
Yeah.
And you know what? I say we have enough moments in our life of insecurity. There's nothing wrong once in a while. If that's your whole being, it's nauseous. But there's nothing nauseous about once in a while looking back at something you did. Like any comedian going, fuck. Like, I think of myself as a chicken. I don't like to do anything. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do. I fucking moved to California.
Right. I know.
Like, with no money. I mean, I did not save.
I came out here with $1,000 and thought that would work. And, you know, I said, then I put money down on a apartment and bought a futon, and I had $150 to last me a month.
And what'd you do?
Pat Francis was my roommate, the very funny Pat Francis, and the two of us just kind of got by. Like, I literally go to Wiener Schnitzel or Jack of the Box and get the $2.99 tacos and a drink. So it was like $2 a day on food. And, you know, I'm a man.
Do you know what's funny? That just in case he listens to this podcast, a gentleman we were talking about that said something at the gym, Ken. See, Ken, I don't always throw you under the bus. It's funny that you think it's cheaper to eat out, but the truth is, it's easier. But he said, you know, the stuff you can buy, you know, it's always like you can buy bags of beans. And
that's
like,
what Pat would eat, rice and peas. That was his thing. He would make rice and peas. And to me, that just seems sad. Like that he would get rice and peas as I'm sitting there eating my awful tacos from Jack in the Box. Look at this pathetic crunch. You know what I mean?
Well, I know exactly what you mean because, yeah, it doesn't matter because there is something like, oh, geez. Because you know why? People that eat full meals and they still eat Taco Bell. So you could just be a guy walking down the street eating some Taco Bell, and you're going to go home and have a steak later for dinner.
Right.
With him, with the beans and the rice.
Yeah.
Home. That's what he's eating.
Rice and peas. Please. Rice and peas.
Rice and peas. Well, one of the – I got –
Right. You got questions here.
I do, and we don't usually do this. And let me just – so we pace ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Because we are – we're doing two shows. We're doing a Monday show too. So,
somebody else coming in after me?
Yeah.
What do you got coming in? I'm very excited. Well, don't tell me. Tell me off the air.
Okay.
Is it somebody I know? Is it somebody I get along with? Rory Scovel?
No.
Is it his time to come
on? By the way, I am not rushing you anywhere.
It sounds like you're pushing me out for Rory Scovel.
No, don't even kid.
I mean, I know.
No, that's not Rory Scovel.
I know that Rory needs to be on every half episode he's got to come on?
You got to have people like that on your show.
I do. Everybody comes on. Pat Francis used to be once every four episodes.
Yeah.
Now everybody's on once every 6 months or once a year, depending on who the person is. You're a once every 6 month guy.
I'm just so comfortable with who I'm already comfortable with. But tell me if you go through this too. But sometimes you try. Like if I would have never had last week. Who do we have on the show? Before Graham Elwood.
Oh, you had Graham on? Wait, Rory couldn't make it.
Troy Conroy.
Who?
Troy Conroy.
No, but after that. He was here. He did the whole thing.
Henry Phillips.
No, after Henry, because Henry talked about having him on. Why am I drawing a blank to his name?
Come on, Aristotle.
Come on, every one of you.
Robbie.
Chris Fairbanks.
You had Fairbanks on.
And
he's great.
I would have him on every week.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, it's easy. And then they live around here. And
some people are easy. Some people, it's a little more interviewee.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people. I had Judy Gold on. I don't know if you were listening earlier. I know you were pointing at your paper.
Did you talk about Judy Gold?
On the show here today?
No, did you? Why? Did you have a... Was there a problem?
No, I had her on. She was great. She's funny in the bones.
She is funny in the bones.
She's funny in the bones.
She is funny in the bones. And I learned that at a comedy festival once where we were... not to be shot, we did a fake talk show in the hallway of the Montreal Comedy at that... What's that old hotel? In the lobby, we set up a fake talk show. The Delta. There was a guest and then a co-host, and we had guests. We didn't shoot it. It wouldn't have been as special so then we did it. And to leave as the co-host or guest, you had to go find somebody to replace you. And we did it with trust, and nobody ever broke the trust. Started it around maybe 10 at night.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually I wanted to leave. Well, and I got somebody. I said, hey, they want you down there. I sort of tricked them. But once they got down there, they had to stay. And they always did. Nobody broke it. I came back around 4:30 in the morning and somebody goes, hey, they want you down there. I go, shut the fuck up. They're still doing it. And Judy Gold did it the longest. And her friend Howard Lapidus or somebody.
Oh, yeah. Howard, he's a manager.
Yeah, he wasn't taking it seriously. And she did it from that little, because she goes, Howard. She goes, you're not even taking it seriously. And it was so adorable and fucking so funny. She's
funny.
Yeah.
She's a funny. She's got a one-man show going on, one-woman show, I imagine. Here, I think it's called The Judy Show. And my wife and I are going to go see it on August the 10th.
Well, where's it at?
The Geffen Playhouse here in Los Angeles.
I think I'm related to him.
Who?
Geffen.
David Geffen?
My mom's brother has a wife. And then she has a brother and it's his son. Does that make me related?
I don't know.
I knew you were losing you.
Literally.
Oh.
I don't know if that... Is it your neighbor? It was that far. I don't know where this person
imagine
is.
Imagine if I was that stupid. Okay, I think I'm related to him. You know my neighbor?
Yeah.
He's my neighbor. Am I related to him?
You know what? You might be.
What you'd say, even if you're not related, I imagine you're doing better than everyone thought you were doing in the community if he's your neighbor.
Pardon?
If I live next to him, then I'm doing better than...
Oh, you're living next to David Geffen?
If I was.
Oh, here's how dumb I am. I was thinking that your neighbor was related to him. I was going one removed and taking the funny out of it.
What's your favorite?
Okay. I just made fun of myself.
That's okay.
Here's a quick thing along those lines. I said this on my podcast when the great Paul Atkinson was on. It was the day Dennis Farina died. And a person that I know on Facebook put, this is really sad. My cousin worked for his dad. Really? You have no connection to Dennis Farina. My cousin worked for his dad. What the fuck?
You're removed once. That other person's removed once. So why don't you just shut the fuck up?
Yeah, why don't you just say, hey, good actor. Gonna miss him. This is very sad. My cousin worked for his dad. What the? Nobody's involved with Dennis Farina.
You know why people love to connect themselves with misery sometimes? Because that makes them not have to, those people that will connect themselves with and over-connect.
This is a true statement. I said this, I want to say back in 1974, I was the first guy to say it, and it ended up being posters and pillows and such. I said, misery loves company. I said that in 1974. I was 8 years of age. And my mother said, that is profound. Let me call somebody at the Chicago Sun-Times, let them know you said that. Before you know it, Mike Royko came to my house. He's since passed away, terrific journalist.
Who did say that for real?
No, it's been around forever. I don't know.
You're saying that's what I'm saying, only in a different way. But I'm making it more like a good. Am I arguing for no reason?
Yeah.
Because I thought you were saying, "Oh, great point, Todd." Everyone knows.
No, not at all. I was just doing a silly bit. You should think more. You should overthink things more.
I will. I'm trying to. You know what? Do you like this type of music?
No, you turn it off.
No, seriously. I want to know if you like this type of music. This is a different song. Do you have it? Okay, you should give them numbers like we did last, put them on here. Perry Como. Are you okay?
Yeah.
I didn't even mean it jokingly. this this won't work.
Salagadoola, Michigaboola, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo.
Do you like this?
Put them together and what have you got? Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo.
Let me tell you something.
Would you like to play this in the background the whole time?
No.
Turn it off. Hold on, I want to deal with this really, because I don't like to throw them. You're okay, it's all right.
Yeah, I'm good. We just have different signs for it. You wrote down one thing, and I have a...
Hold on.
I need to be more prepared.
It's all right. It's all good.
Take full responsibility.
So you have different things written for different things.
Yes.
It's what did you have for Perry Como?
I had Bibbidi Bobbidi.
Excuse me. Can you do you have anything bibbity boppity?
Oh,
seriously.
Good,
I need
bibbity magic, believe it or not.
Bibbity boppity boop. Bibbity bibbity boppity boopity bibbity boopity bop. All right, you can pay today.
I used to do a bit about Perry Como.
It's okay.
And the bit was the premise. God damn it.
Yeah, I apologize.
And I apologize for doing a bit. But very rarely does Perry Como come up. The premise was, do you think people got back in the day when somebody was like 23 years old buying their first album, were they as excited about a Perry Como album as I would have been about a
Kiss album? Hold on, it's okay.
I swear to fucking God, I'm in the middle of my goddamn Perry Como riff.
I know, it's okay, that's what I'm saying. I'll have to go get him. No, it's okay. Why don't you understand that? No, seriously. I've never had this on this. What? No, you might explain me. By the way, Jimmy, it's okay. You have a show, too. You know when this happens. But by the way, first of all,
I don't know how serious you are.
I don't like ever. You never have. Back me here. Or, do you ever have a moment, and the minutes it's coming out of your mouth, you know it's never an excuse.
You're legitimately upset with Aristotle.
Well, I didn't understand why when I kept saying it was okay.
I think you said, if I may, I think Aristotle was. I thought you said it's okay. Go ahead and get him.
I thought you meant like it's okay, just leave it out there.
Oh, well, then you shouldn't have been moving.
I thought you said it's a. So I wasn't sure if you meant okay to leave him out there or okay.
Well, yeah, but that's what I thought. That's why at the first when you go, he's out there. I thought, oh, he didn't know what I meant. And I went, yeah, I know he's out there. It's okay.
But again, in his defense, you
tried to help him, and
he threw himself under the fucking bus. He's stupid. But you, in fairness to everybody involved, because I'm the most uncomfortable I've been in my 47 years on this planet.
I've done your show.
But I do it with humor, and people get that I'm doing it.
What
with
do you think we're fucking doing now,
you're
Pardo?
You're yelling at this poor kid.
I'm leaving all this in. You called him a fucking idiot.
Yes, he's dumb because of what just happened. My point is this.
First of all.
But no, let me say this. Don't hear me out.
I will.
So Perry Como. No. Hear me out. You were like the person doing win, lose, or draw, where you just keep drawing the same thing, and nobody is like, we don't know what that is. Draw something else. You just kept going, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Well, he doesn't know what the fuck that means. It's obvious he's having trouble understanding your two words.
Why does he have trouble understanding?
Well, he's dumb.
It's like this guy. He's like, I'm all right with you, and I think we're both having trouble with you because you don't really defend either of us. You're
right.
Like, Todd, you don't talk to human being like that if they're dumb.
Well, I mean, listen, it's obvious when a kid's not sharp like this kid here, you got to treat him with kid gloves. You can't come at him. It's all right. It's all right. You can't keep beating him up like that. This poor kid. He's not the brightest. And you keep putting them down like
can
this.
I tell you, do we leave this in or do we take it out?
You leave it in. This is fucking hysterical.
Okay,
you
so
cut this out. Well, oh, it's on you guys.
No, let me just say
Aristotle's
this.
Aristotle's uncomfortable,
at
as
the end
he should be because you made him look the fool.
At the end of the day, first of all, if I'm leaving this in, I'm going to have to say this. So you're just going to have to bear with me. Jesus Christ. You want it in?
First of all, you leave it.
Motherfucker.
Right, Aristotle, are you comfortable leaving this in?
I'm fine with
He's 100%
okay.
comfortable.
Then let me say this.
Let me just say, in his defense, you want to leave this in?
Yes.
It's all right.
Okay.
It's all right.
Please, let me say this.
It's all right.
Let me just say this.
It's all right.
I don't even know what time it is. We have to go to close.
Do we really? We don't have time for the questions?
Oh, no. You know what? Can you take a quick little break?
What does that mean?
Can we take a quick little break, let Bobby in, and then ask you some questions, and then we'll say goodnight?
Why can't somebody just go down and let Bobby in while I'm talking?
Because I get distracted.
I don't understand.
I get distracted.
I don't know what the fuck this dude did. I don't know what these two are even doing here.
My brain is wired.
I don't know what Robbie and Adam are doing here.
They're just hanging out today.
Right, so send one of these deadbeats down and fucking lock the door.
I just told you because, listen, please.
How could you be distracted by a human being?
Jimmy, if I can't help it.
How is this not distracting? These two guys are sitting here doing nothing.
I'll tell you why. Because they're both... They're good. They're great at their energy.
Nice positive energy.
No, you're not. Mind.
But let's focus
please,
on that energy.
Let me just say.
To our feet and walk down the stairs and unlock the door for Bobby.
I'll explain why. Okay, I might be crazy. I don't doubt it. Not crazy, but a little bit. When anybody's walking around, I can't. If I knew how to let that not bother me, it would work such to my advantage. I can't. It's very hard for me. I have a new respect when I do radio. I used to come in the room while they were doing their show and move around and do stuff. Even when I was quiet as a mouse,
mm-hmm.
and I probably wasn't always, but even when I was quiet,
I still was walking around, making gestures, asking questions, whispering.
Yeah, you're bothering people.
Whispering into the news person's ear because they weren't needed then about what's come. Now I don't do that. But guess what? I'm surprised how much they. I see them. If someone said, Todd, they do radio, and people, I get it. I see it all the time. I don't know how they do it. So that's why.
All right. Well, they're professionals.
Now let me say this, and then we're going to go let Bobby in. And you're. By the way, you're just.
I don't know why it needs to be a field trip.
Jimmy.
I don't know why six men are needed to go open up a goddamn okay. door that is no more than 15 feet away.
Okay. We're going to do it. We're going to do it my way.
I know we are, but I'm going to bust your balls about it.
I'm going to bust your casting nets.
Oh, my God. I am so glad I did not let you out of here. Don't fucking think you're not going to do Andrew Dice Clay till I vomit. Or at least come close. But hold on, let me say this, and then we're going to let Bobby in, and then I got a few questions I want to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Please. I'm to George Carlin, right? I don't think that that's acceptable. I see the way you do it, and I'm agreeing with you. There's a comedicness that there's never a tension in the room, ever, when I've done your show. I said that because I was like, oh, shit, I was a little embarrassed.
Mm.
Look, I throw chair. Last week I admitted I broke my office chair.
During the show?
No. But there's a comedicness when I've never felt tension in the room with being in your podcast ever.
Right.
That was not the case with Aristotle.
Just now.
And yes. And he's such, I'm going to say it, he's such a kind, gentle, good soul that I immediately felt like, ugh. So what do you say? You just look at someone and you say you're sorry, you know, because it's not his fault. Look at Bobby walking around like a fucking idiot. Who let him in?
See, he's in.
He's in. What the fuck is the door open for? Yeah, Aristotle, you're a fucking idiot. Did you leave the door open? All right, let's
he buys a car?
Play something nice. Can you play that?
That guy has no idea Bobby's not buying a car.
Can you play this? All right, we'll be right back with Bobby Miyamoto. I mean, no, that was all.
Boy, your friends are my friends, and my friends are your friends. So when we get together, happier we'll be. When we get together, the happier we'll be. Boy, your friends are my friends, and my friends are your friends. So when we get together, happier we'll be.
It's my niece. Isn't she good?
That's very good, yes.
You like her?
I do enjoy that, yes.
If you want her to sing at one of your shows, she'll open it up.
I would be honored.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You sure you don't want to use... You want to use this kid instead? Would you let this kid open for you? Honestly, you're... Sure you would. You're doing your podcast in Chicago.
Here's my concern, and I'm very serious. My concern is that everybody would think it was a joke, or they would laugh at the child. They wouldn't understand that I have I'm actually having this child open for me because I think he or she has a beautiful voice. Voice like an angel, this child.
Well, by the way, I think it's a boy, a young boy.
Is it Asian? Is it an Asian child?
Let me ask you. Let's call him on the phone right now. I think he is.
You got the phone number?
Yeah. Do we have is the phone hooked up? I don't even know what to do. Okay, we're getting him on the phone right now. I think he's Asian.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Is the kid that sang that song there?
Yeah, I am. I'm Asian.
Oh, are you Asian?
Yeah.
Do you know how to make orange chicken? God, you know what? I fucked it up. Give it again. Go again.
Okay.
Go again.
Maybe I'll let you ask, too.
No, here we go. This is...
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yes, hello. I got your phone number from a friend of mine, Todd. Are you the young fellow that sang on America's Got Talent?
Yes, I am.
Oh, that is you. Oh, boy, it sounds like maybe you have a voice box. Are you okay, sir, a young fellow?
No, I'm okay.
Oh, there you are. Very good. That was Chris. I must have been my cell phone. So you're the young man that did the singing?
Yes, I sang my way.
Yes, and by the way, it was terrific.
Thank you.
You deserve everything, all the success you get. What made you pick that song? Was that a favorite of your parents?
I just feel like everything I've done so far in my life. By the way, you got to accept the voice. It's the best I'm going to do. Everything I've done in my life so far, I feel like I've, you know, done it my way. So I thought that was an appropriate song.
You know what? You're not wrong. I guess we've all done it our way. It doesn't matter how long we've been alive. That's a really good observation. Yeah. Very positive energy. I appreciate it.
And I feel my end is near.
Well, now you made it sad, young fella.
Well, that's why I sang it. I wouldn't leave out such an important detail. If my end wasn't near, then I would never do that song. It's a huge part of the song.
But your end is near. Maybe you're graduating middle school.
Maybe your end is near. You could spin it that way, positively.
Oh, I don't mean near like your death is near. I mean like in 60 years.
So that far away.
Can we do me a favor?
I didn't get to the question yet.
Okay, so yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I guess my question is this. Mm-hmm. You seem very talented. Do you sing at parties and such?
Oh, sure I do.
Now, I'm a professional comedian. My name is Jimmy Pardo. You probably recognize me from the Conan O'Brien program.
I know your podcast, Never Not Funny.
Thank you, I'm a pioneer. Now, listen, my question is this, young man. I'm always looking for fresh talent to go on the road with me and open up.
Oh, I'm very excited.
Now, you do more. I just have two questions for you.
Sure.
Do you do more than one song?
Yes, I do.
And do you know how to make orange chicken? That's how I should have done it the first time. You bring him down the path. You don't open with orange chicken.
Here's what we're going to do.
All right, here we go.
This should stop. Maybe we should stop.
Maybe we should stop.
All right,
here we go.
Stop.
Fade it out. Here's what we're going to do. I got some questions for you, and then we're going to...
And what's the premise behind these questions?
Somebody asked them to me today, and I liked them, so I asked her to send them to me.
Somebody on the telephone.
From Harvard. Somebody from some Harvard publication. Somebody said, you know when you ask somebody to hang up? She said, yeah, you should do it. It'll be good.
So you
liked your questions. Some of them I've heard before, but enough of them I was like, that was an enjoyable interview.
All right, very good.
So we'll do these.
I'll be as brief as possible.
She said it perfectly. She goes, they seem like there should be, you know, quick answers. She goes, sometimes you want to give the quick answer and then the sub, give it part B. It's all right. And that happened a lot with me.
I don't know.
What?
I'm probably just going to give you part B.
Okay, hold on. What's your favorite place you traveled to?
My favorite place I've traveled to? Italy on my honeymoon. Or do you mean as a comedian?
No matter what.
Italy on my honeymoon. I enjoyed myself.
You know what's so funny? I don't travel that much, but out of all the places I went, Italy is everything I thought it would be.
Yeah?
Like just the sitting down, the enjoying of the dinner. We ate with an Italian family and the relatives. It was just the streets and the people, and it was just, I really liked it too. That's your questions, not mine. I'd be the worst interviewer in the world.
No, I disagree. I think the best interview in the world is the best interview is a conversation.
Okay, thank
you. So I think you saying that is because you doing that is better than a follow-up because then maybe I would go, hey, you know what? I also had dinner with a family. Funny anecdote.
Right.
I didn't this time.
Why don't you tell Aristotle that I'm good?
The kid's not going to understand it. He's not bright.
So
we're clear. We know I'm making a joke. I think you're a terrific young man, very handsome.
Is there a person you met that you left starstruck or you felt a little starstruck around them?
I had the pleasure, Todd, of doing some improvisation at the backstage for something called the Pardo Patrol that I do over there at teamcoco.com. And we didn't even ask this person to do it because I figured that they wouldn't be interested. So I'm out on stage doing the warming up that I do over at Conan. And as I come off the stage and the head of teamcoco.com, Aaron, says, hey, Tom Hanks wants to do a Pardo Patrol. I was like, what? He goes, yeah. He said, I want to do one of those things with that guy on the internet. Those are fun. And so all of a sudden, I had to immediately think of so I had to improvise this thing with Tom Hanks. And I wasn't starstruck. I was a little starstruck. Yes.
Can I interrupt you real quick? I bet this will say it better for you. You don't get starstruck. You get talent struck.
I get talent struck.
And there's nothing embarrassing about that.
And that's I probably would get starstruck if I met Bill Clinton. I think that might be the one for me. I'm not a big political guy, but, you know, a president I think is a pretty neat thing. But Tom Hanks was a guy growing up on Bosom Buddies and all the movies. Like, that's Tom Hanks in Philadelphia, one of my favorite movies. To be in a room, you know, 15 feet by 9 feet and with two cameras on it doing improvisation – and I'm improvising with one of my heroes. Like, that was the most, you know, it was just amazing.
Was there a point when you knew you were holding your own and you felt like, I'm relaxed now? Well, first of all, he liked you going into it. That had to relax you a little.
Yeah, of course it did. But I still was like, I did one with Martin Short, and I felt the same way. Like,
time is up.
Oh.
Sounds like you don't like Martin Short.
No, I do.
That's what I take away from
that.
By the way, I love Martin Short, and I love when he goes on Letterman that he's prepared.
Love it. And he's prepared on Conan, too. He shows up, but he's ready.
Is he really?
Yes.
I hope I'm like that, you know. Well, I hope I'm like it now. I think
well,
I need
are.
To start
You're
working
You're ready
on it
to
now.
Go. We got a chance.
Okay, here we go. Where do you feel most at home?
At home.
That's what I said. Do you have any hobbies?
Ask me again, and I'll be an asshole.
Where do you feel most at home?
On the stage. I just love it. I mean, I'm at home. I you know, it's my dojo.
Go on.
Do you have a, by the way, I had no answer for this. Do you have any? What's your most prized possession?
My son.
I said my friend.
It seems like a crazy.
Oh, by the way, I sound like a fucking parody of myself. I said the same thing, and then you tell me something else, and I go, "That's what I said."
Yeah.
But I did. I said my friends, and then I went, "Well, that's not really my possession. Could you write that under it?" And that was the first. Remember, I said I answered the questions, and then there was part
B.
That was one of the first ones. What do you think?
Who is that?
Oh my God! Shut the fuck up!
There's another one. Who was that? Because now we have a new one.
Hold on. So help me out here. You had Charles Nelson Reilly.
Oh,
Paul Lynn. Close enough. Joanne Worley. Then you had
Charlie Callis.
And then you had Jerry Lewis, Lady. Mm-hmm. And then you had Hamina. Abbott and Costello. Did he do that? Oh no, Mo, the guys that used to beat each other up. I didn't like them.
You know,
I didn't like them beating each other up. I fucking hated
them
when I was little.
Why did you turn into Joe Pesci just then?
I didn't like them.
I don't like them
because they. Well.
You know what? Here's interesting. Revisit the Three Stooges. Like you'll find them like on TV at 2 o'clock in the morning.
They're not so mean to each other.
They are, but now it's like. Something's happened where I can all of a sudden go, they're clowns. They're clowns.
Wait, did it bother you a little when they were so mean to
each other? I hated it. I hated it until maybe 2 years ago. And that's a true statement. Now it's kind of like it comes on.
It's a parody of itself.
I kind of appreciate that this was happening so long ago.
Like, leave him the fuck alone. You're not so great yourself. What do you fucking do? Every time you're in the same, not you, the guy with the, you look,
what? What the fuck?
Not you, of course
this
not
really
you.
This really took a turn. What do you mean?
What was the guy that was the meanest?
Yeah, Mo.
Yeah, he used to yell at everybody. What did he ever do so fucking great?
He's the brains of the organization.
But he was horrible. He acted like he was the brains.
Right.
But he didn't get him out of anything. Right. He just went, it was like if three idiots were together and one idiot decided he was going to call the other two idiots.
They're called the Three Stooges. It's in the name. They're all stooges.
I like how your example is. It's like if you had three idiots.
No, they're called the Three Stooges. It's right in the name.
I wish I could say I was kidding.
I know.
I would. Why would I lie? Because they might think at least I'm not as. Oh,
no,
Jesus.
I know. What do you got?
What do you think your favorite musical band of all time is?
Well, that's Chicago. That's well documented.
That's what I said. No, I said old school.
Yours is Hall & Oates because you're from Philly.
No, it is not.
The Temptations because you're from Philly.
Why are you naming those? I like Fake Problems. They're a band out of Florida. I'm very progressive.
Never heard.
Okay, hold on. Was there any? Okay, no. Hold on. I want to get through.
What happened?
What's the harshest thing a critic ever said about you?
Well, just not funny.
And I said that too, exactly. And then I said, and then I try to remember a story someone told me about Bob Dylan that somebody yelled at, "You suck." And I don't want to do a bad impersonation of Bob Dylan, but I think I have to give a little twang to my voice to give it. "You suck." He goes, "I don't believe you."
Is that what he said?
I hope he did, because that's a great, "I don't believe you." Isn't that a great answer? I don't believe you.
Because he doesn't.
Well, and then the guy threw a rock at his head.
Well, then maybe he didn't. Maybe you should have believed him. Sounds like you should take him at his word next time.
I don't believe you. Maybe you should fucking listen.
You know, your impression sounds like a horrible John Lennon. You sound like you're doing a bad, like Ringo from the cartoon Beatles.
Bob Dylan, he didn't do that. It's close enough.
Right in that area there. I do voices. I'll teach you how to do that one.
What's the biggest risk you ever took?
The biggest risk? I think we talked about it. We talked about moving here, quitting our day jobs, and doing comedy.
Okay, we're going to go. You have a pet peeve?
Oh, jeez, we don't have time.
Yeah.
We don't have time. You know what my biggest pet peeve is? People that don't do things the way that I would do them. Which means everything.
Are you, do you mind if somebody flosses in front of you? Like, can your wife come out of the bathroom flossing?
Yeah, absolutely. I welcome it.
You do not welcome it.
You don't know what I'm going to do.
I'm going to call her and ask her.
No,
I could call her.
Yeah, who can? But, you know, things with your wife and that's, but you know what? I don't like when people are flossing at the gymnasium. When a guy's at the communal sink and mirror and he's got the floss out, Floss at home, you asshole.
Yeah, don't flick pieces of shit everywhere.
Right? And you and really, you're so, you don't, you couldn't have done that this morning or when you get home tonight. You got to do everything. And what did you just eat at the gym? You got to floss.
I wish I made sense. Both of us were crazy, but I agree with you 100%. When I see him over there, put your fucking floss away. Go home.
Right.
You know what? Maybe they live in their car.
I don't know anything about these people.
Me neither. They might. They might have to do some stuff that we
You
take.
Know what? They might. And then for 30, here's the, you know what? You're not wrong. For $30 a month, they have a place to shower and clean up.
Oh, yeah, that's very popular. I know some people that have lived out of a van and stuff. Some comedian that we know. I think, hey, if you want to move out here and you do that, good for you.
Because it's $30 a month. And
yeah.
Then, so you live out of your car. You have your tacos. Then you go and you go to the gymnasium. You freshen up. You keep in shape, certainly. You could be there all goddamn day. I don't care how you handle it. Get a cell phone.
Do you have a hobby?
Do I? Yeah.
I actually don't know the
answer. I play fantasy baseball. That's my hobby.
You play what?
Fantasy baseball, rotisserie baseball.
That's a good hobby.
Yeah, I love it.
All right.
I do that 6 months out of the year, the other 6 months.
Is there a song on the radio right now you can't stop listening to?
You know what? If you asked me 6 months ago, I would have said Kesha. I couldn't stop listening to Kesha. I loved Kesha.
You know,
right now, I don't know.
You know the last thing you Googled?
The last thing I Googled? Yes, the serial number to a LG television.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I Googled it because I wanted to see the reviews on it.
And
my wife in the car just Googled, are the Del Taco beans really vegetarian? Because the woman at the drive-thru told us they were vegetarian.
And what were they?
You know what? We didn't get an answer. I'm going to have to revisit that when I get home tonight.
I acted.
By the way, it was the first time I had Del Taco in probably 10 years. I was in a hurry because I knew it was coming here. And I had to go through the drive-thru to quickly get some dinner.
Forget about whether it's good or bad for you. It tastes good.
Nothing bad with it. Not yet.
No, that's why. Maybe it's just me. Like, forget about the food's good or bad for you. Because mm-hmm. I understand that it's all bad for you. But some manage to make it taste. Look, maybe you think I'm going out on a limb, but some manage to make it taste really good. When I go to Wendy's, and now I get a hamburger, nothing on it but ketchup on a pretzel roll. You know what? Not only does it taste good while I'm eating it, I don't feel sick afterwards. Still probably shit. But Burger King. Now, some people might be listening to this going, no. But I like Burger King, but it seems like everything they make just tastes stale. They can't get roll right.
The problem is they started microwaving everything. Back in the day when everything was fresh, they give you a fresh bun.
But didn't they stop that?
That hamburger comes through. No, they pop it in the microwave, and then your lettuce is a tiny bit wilted, and everything feels soggy and stale.
Bread doesn't stay soft when it's microwaved.
It shouldn't be microwaved.
You ever go to a restaurant, and the bread come out, it's nice and soft, literally no bullshit, 45 seconds. So your first piece, if you get butter on it quick enough, then you go back into the bread basket, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's all crunchy. And you know what? Do you like pretzel rolls?
I don't think I'm as high on them as you are.
That was my closing topic. I wanted to talk to you about pretzel rolls for a while.
What if you look down and you just said you have that in the final edition, big bold pretzel rolls.
Closer.
Right?
Closer. Jimmy, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
This was a fun show.
This was a very fun show.
I know how to do this. Professional.
Well, and also, it's you, so it's fun to be here.
I didn't even do any music. And
what do you mean you didn't do music? You did nothing but music. I had to listen to Frank Sinatra for 40 goddamn minutes. I had to withstand that. What are you talking about? You didn't do any music. I had to listen to some guy do a Jimmy Pardo parody.
Do you think, be honest, just before you leave, pick one that we're going to go off as we say goodnight. And this is what we're going to ride off to. Do you want to hear the Frank Sinatra the kid or Frank Sinatra the real person?
There's not a third choice?
Nope.
Well, I want to hear Perry Como.
Perry Como?
In the computer, that's Bippity Bobbity.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't we show? Take your headsets off, and I'll tell you why. Everybody, take their headsets off. Don't go anywhere. Push your chair back and show this man the respect he deserves. Come on, everybody. Here we go.
Yes, we do it right.
Hey, Miyamoto, you dumb fuck. Get your chink ass and stand up. Get your nice ass up.
But what'd you say the first time?
Nothing.
I want to know what you said.
I said something that's going to...
Because if it's what I think, I said I got to follow up. What did you say?
I said your chicken.
You did?
Yes.
I got a quick question.
What?
You know how to make orange chicken?
Shut the fuck up! You fucking take it home! God bless you! You are a fucking professional! Oh, my God!
All right, Jimmy Pardo.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.